Well, hey, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Faith and Friends. I'm your host, your friend, and your sister in Christ, Georgia Brown, and I am seriously so excited for today's conversation. Today, we are hanging out with my friend, my sweet, sweet favorite author, and the entire world, the one, the only, Karen Kingsbury. Today, we are concluding this section of the prayer series where we talk about the model prayer. And at the very end of that, we say amen, right? So before we get going, I wanted to share with you a little sneak peek from the devotional, Hi God, It's Me. And it is our day where we talk about amen, the release. And it says, if you live in the South, you totally will get this. When it comes to the way we talk down here, there's quite an interesting combination of Southern Belle alongside a whole lot of yeehaw. This makes the amen of our prayer sound like amen, thick as molasses. But depending on where you were born and raised, the ending of your prayers may sound like amen, a little daintier, shall we say. Friend, no matter how your beautiful self says it, other than it being the word we conclude our prayers with, do you know what amen means? You'll have to continue reading to finish that sweet devotional page about more on amen. What does it mean when we're saying amen? And you know what? We're going to tackle this topic today with Miss Karen in such a sweet way as we release things back to the Lord. This is actually a concept that Miss Karen taught me, and I'm so grateful for her life, for her story, all of what she writes, all for God's glory. It has impacted my life so greatly, and man, oh man, her stories have truly healed my heart in the area of romance and seeing things through the lens of Christ, and it has been such a beautiful journey, and I'm so grateful she's in my life, and truly, it is a true honor to share her with you today, and we're just going to have the sweetest time. So I truly pray that this episode encourages you and meets you right where you're at. All right, let's dive right in. Well, Miss K, welcome back to Faith and Friends. I think this is the third time that we've got to hang out together.
I think it is too, and I was looking forward to it. I looked at my week and I said, yes, Georgia Brown, this is going to be great.
That was so fun. I am so grateful for you and for your family and for the stories that you write and the way that you're inspired by the Lord. Truly, like, my journey with you and your writing has gone from this place of healing my heart to now. It's just been such a beautiful opportunity to watch the way that you live your life on the other side of those pages, because I feel like I love you even more than your writing, which I didn't even know was possible. And to see you live your life as a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mama, sister, and a way that you steward all that he's given you, like, for me, that has made such an impact on my life. And I'm just so, so grateful.
You're so sweet. Way too sweet. Thank you.
It's just really true. And so I'm just beyond excited. And I can't believe, like, now we're getting to talk about my little devo. And I'm just so excited.
I was going to say, Georgia, you know, I think as much as you feel that way, I feel that way about you, because I remember our very first interview that we had together and thinking to myself, this girl is going places. God has his hand over her, and that he just had an anointing on your life. And so, to see where you are now and to see the platform he's grown. And it's been not because you're looking for a platform. And I think that's a really key thing for young people out there who are trying so hard to build a platform, is if you are literally just opening a window to the world as to the real and genuine life you live with Jesus, that's what people are hungry for. And so it wasn't like you have a formula. Here's how I grew my platform. You just served the Lord and talked about him and shared your prayer journey with him and with the people who are listening and watching. And that's what people are hungry for. And there comes your book. Amazing.
It's so sweet. I'm so humbled. Like, I never would have thought. And he does above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. But this was birthed, everything, all of this was birthed out of a real place of, I don't know what to do in this situation, but I remember this movie that I saw. And I remember she prayed in her closet. And for the first time in my life, now I have a walk-in closet. I am so broken in this moment because my friend got taken advantage of at a party. I can't do anything else in this situation but pray. And you know what? Why should I think that's a 911 response when things are just bad? Why isn't this my first response always to come and to call upon heaven, to call upon the name above all names that can actually change the situation? And so I'm just so grateful that he's using me and I'm allowing him to, because it's not about us, yet it is. He's like, beloved, I want to use you. And the gospel made its way to you on its way to someone else. And it's
right.
just the sweetest thing to partner with him in.
Yeah, you get what it is we lay ourselves aside.
Yes.
We actually do get, this is where the dying to self comes in. It's, yes, it requires us. It requires us to lay ourselves down to say, I'm going to be a vessel. And it really truly is being a vessel for him. Watching you do that, it's so weird because, like, I'll catch myself sometimes, or I'll hear people sometimes say, well, you know, all we can do is pray. And what a crazy statement that is. I'll catch myself and I'll change it in the moment, like real time. I'll be like, wait. The best thing we could ever do is pray. I mean, other things are very nice. And maybe they come because God said, oh, take this supplement and that'll help. Or, you know, stay away from that situation and that'll be better for your mental health or your spiritual health. But reality is the best thing we can do is take it to our Father, Creator, who loves us so much and is able. And is able even in the times when we go, well, wait, we prayed about that and it didn't work out the way I wanted. And those moments, still going to him is the only option we have. It's the best option.
Truly, truly. And I love the verse that's pray without ceasing. And another translation says, never stop praying. Just talk to him. Just as clear as you and I are talking right now. It's Billy Graham said, prayer is a two-way conversation of active listening and active speaking, because it is a conversation. And so often we come to him with our requests and then we say, peace out. I'll see you next time. But he's just like, will you linger? Will you stay? Will you listen and lean in? Because I think, Miss Kay, he wants us to get so close to him that we hear his heartbeat and then our heartbeats align with him. And that's when he gives us the desires of our hearts, because our heart has now been transformed into the image and likeness of what he created for us as a representation of heaven here on earth.
100%. That's, couldn't say it better. That is exactly what it is. And, you know, people will talk about how it's always a good idea to, you know, end your day by letting the Lord know, like, hey, I'm sorry that I really didn't have the right tone here, whatever, I blew it here. That prayer of confession. But you're right. And what it is if you're praying all day, if you're all day in conversation, then when that low moment hits, as they will for all of us, you know, whether it's a, you know, it's a thought or an action or a tone or whatever, in real time, you can actually say, Lord, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it like that. Like, help me to, like, you can shift that right there. It's part of the conversation. It's not like you have to go, oh yeah, I need to remember once a week to, you know, take my confessions to him and to confess my, and yeah, sure. There are sins where it's like, I need to bring somebody else into this, or I need to, you know, meet with someone. But the reality is, if you're in conversational prayer all day with the Lord, those moments of reconciliation, of like repentance, come naturally, as much as celebration comes naturally in the conversation.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. And I feel like too, something that I even have to learn to give myself grace in is the more that I fall in love with Jesus, obviously, you know, as you're being sanctified, the big sins of before fully committing your life to Jesus, the old has passed away, the new has come. But now the small things feel so big to me.
Yeah.
Of slipping up, of like, oh man, but which is great. But you have to learn this balance of there is forgiveness and the Father blots your sins as far as the east is from the west. And he's like, beloved, like, you are mine, you are my child. It doesn't mean to go actively live in sin, but there is forgiveness and grace when you come to him with a humble, repentant heart. And he says, dust off your feet and let's keep going.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, so good. So good. I can't
this
wait.
This is so fun. Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so grateful. And man, honestly, you inspired this day in the Devo because of the way that you live your life and just a conversation that we had one time. And I was like, man, as I went to write this, I was like, oh my stars, this is perfect. So when you were releasing
I think it was a book or two ago. And you talked about release day is the day that you release it to the Lord. It's a day where you literally, whatever it is, if it's a book, if it's a project for work you've been working on, a paper to your teacher, whatever, you're releasing it up to Him and saying, "Thy will be done. I trust you with this. Into my hands, I commit my spirit," as Jesus even said on the cross, like, Lord. And so as we pray and say, amen, so be it.
Amen.
We're releasing our prayers up to Him saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. I trust you. Do with this what you will.
Absolutely. Release day becomes a day of offering.
Mm.
This beautiful thing that God has placed on your heart. And that could be, you know, music for the artist, or it could be, you know, a day of work or completing an assignment at a different kind of job or finishing schoolwork. This is an offering to the Lord. And so a day like this for you is, you know, a release day is a day of worship. It's a day of putting this sacrifice on the altar and offering it to Him and saying, it's yours.
Mm, that's amazing. I love that. And it's in the big mountaintop moments, but also the daily. Like when we start our day with prayer and we just say, amen, like, I ask the Lord, like, may I walk in the spirit and deny my flesh and pick up my cross, and may I armor myself up and do your will. Like, man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps. And I'm like, Lord, if I'm interrupted today, amen, so be it. Like, I want to walk in step with you. And so it's just such a beautiful lens to look at this life in, because we do have that choice. Like, you could choose to look at Him or to look down and look at what's going on in the natural. When he says, look up, your redemption draws nigh. Like, I am here. Have a heavenly perspective. And so what are ways that, just in your day-to-day, Miss Kay, that you choose to have a heavenly perspective?
Well, it's funny, you know, on Easter Sunday, actually Resurrection Sunday, we actually talked a little bit about this, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. Just said, you know, scripture says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. It is such a physical shift. You're absolutely right, that whatever it might be, even if it's a book I'm trying to finish, or if it's, you know, a deadline, or if it's some, you know, housework you have to get done, or something I'm supposed to not be about in any way, look up. And that's really, truly, like, there's the song, look up, but that's scripture to shift your physical focus. Look up, remember who made the hills, who made the trees and the beautiful sky, and find ourselves in an instant. You are in the presence of the Lord again. You are anyway, filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's just that shift that God says, I really want you throughout the day to look up. I want you to do that. So that's one. That's really one of my favorite ways. Getting off to myself, just getting away, like even in a room, different, like go upstairs or downstairs, you know, whatever the case may be where you are, step outside. Just take a few minutes. I've actually recorded recently, I've done this on voice memo. I've recorded some really like beautiful scriptural type prayers. And I'll sometimes just put my headphones in, like they're 8 to 11 minutes, that kind of a thing. And I'll just go outside. It's in my own voice. And it will be this great encouragement that I am reminded. Of course, I could read it off of a page, or I could just do, you know, I obviously pray throughout the day. That's a huge part of my relationship with the Lord. But listening to myself with these prayers that I wrote that are really a cry to God or a celebration of what He's doing, it just reshapes the mind. It just, I'm in agreement in prayer as I'm listening to myself pray. So it's a very beautiful and deep time. And it just reminds me of, you know, where scripture says in Romans, I think it's Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So to me, my mind is very important. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely take time to do that. Or another one I love is, you know, we have so much tech around us, but you can use it for the good. So I pay for the little extra bit to not have ads on YouTube. And I really like to get, there's a lot of good content on YouTube. And one of them is this, there's a whole, I don't know, I'm sure there's many of them, but there's this one that I love to listen to, and it's just ocean waves and scripture. And it's like 100 verses, and it's beautiful. It's like the guy reading it is not, it's not a computer. It's not that.
Not a robot.
Hello, my name is not like that. And so it's just like very emphatic, you know, it's like the Lord loves you, you know, that it's that kind of, you know, the emphasis on the right words. And I'll just put that on and I'll have it on in the background. And it's just, it fills my heart. It puts scripture out loud in my place, wherever I am. And I love that. And I love, obviously, you know, worship, having worship music on in the background changes our mood, our day. It welcomes the Spirit to move among us and to direct and guide us in whatever He's leading us. And so it's saturate yourself with it. It's really what I think the Lord wants us to. We have a choice. I mean, we can sit here in silence. I mean, obviously I listen to other music as well. And, you know, we'll put on fun dance music or whatever. But it just shifts your whole heart when you saturate your home and your environment with things of God.
Absolutely. I mean, I love all what you said because it all reveals the Lord, like nature, creation sings of His glory. And then His word, which is alive and active. And then prayer, which is, you know, just talking to your Father, like the veil is torn, like we can just talk to Him. And so these are all ways to see a different side of His face because He's so big. He's greater than our ways, and He's higher than our thoughts. And it's just incredible. And when He gets in you, like, man, when you get in the word gets in you. And that's so evident. And man, I just love that. And so prayer is so important to get into His presence, to dwell, to stay, to linger. And just watching you over this past year, prayer has been a beautiful step of faith in your prayers, as stepping onto the water of being like, okay, Lord, there's like a new chapter birthing. We really need your guidance and your peace and discernment and wisdom and all of these things. Because over this past year, Karen Kingsbury Productions has been birthed into this beautiful, beautiful garden as you've just planted these seeds. And it's just, I'm just so excited. So can you take us back to last year, honestly, about this time of saying, hey, your husband came to you and said, hey, should we do this? I think we should really pray into this.
Yeah, we, you know, it's funny. There've been a lot of different movies that have been made on my books, and I'm thankful for each one. And each time, you know, it was always like, I felt like God opened that door, and there were different steps along the way leading up to, I think, to this point.
Yeah.
Where, you know, we'd learned enough and we'd seen enough, and it was never quite like, that's the thing I would make, or that's how I would have told the story. Mm-hmm. So Tyler, my son Tyler, and I got to do the screenwriting for 1,000 Tomorrows. And that was last year at this time. We were finishing up that. And we were really thankful, and they were getting ready to cast, and they were doing a lot of other decision making, which we had nothing to do with. And it was all, you know, it turned out beautiful and everything was great. But it was like the creative person in me could feel God saying, there is a way for you to do this too. You don't have other people always be the people who do this, but there's a different way. So I knew that I was really trying to avoid it because I'm saying yes to, you know, PureFlix and 1,000 Tomorrows was almost my way of saying, well, look, I wrote the book, Lord, you know, Tyler and I wrote the scripts. That's good. Like that's no, there's no risk there. It's fine. Like it was a beautiful experience. Tyler actually wrote the scripts, and then he'd bring them here and we'd go over them. And I thought, you know, I can just keep on writing books and I don't have to. Filmmaking is so risky and it's so hard. And there's so much out of your control.
Yeah.
I'm writing a book. Like obviously I am controlling by the power of God giving me the story, but I'm controlling like the weather, everything the characters say. They don't have to show up on time. They're always there in my heart. Like
that's true.
Everything is, it's like I have the control over it.
Yeah.
Not in movie making. Not so, you have no control. So that's the first thing you have to realize. And so Donald and I, my husband and I talked about it. And he said, you know, Karen, he said, if we have to sell everything we have, I mean, to make this movie, I think that is what God's calling us to do.
Wow.
And, you know, we have a sign that's outside of our bedroom door, but it's just a really pretty piece of art, and it just says just one life. And that's scriptural, but that's also a reminder that God gives us the days and He calls us to do His work in those days. Some people are being called to a mission field in, you know, South Africa or in, you know, wherever it might be, and that's a different journey for them. But if we're being called to make this movie, to do our own movies, then He'll provide.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make a way. You know, like writing books has become, it's just such a joy for me. I love it, but it's a little easier, right? It's just like, not only do I have control over my schedule. And I know how to do it. Like I, you know, so that's a great movie making. That's a totally different thing. So yeah. So about a year ago, we decided to open Karen Kingsbury Productions and decided prayerfully that someone like you, which is my book that was released in 2020, someone like you would be our first movie. And so that was the first step. And then I started writing a script furiously because I knew if we have time to do that, but the, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving would be not a good time to do it either. So it was like, well, we better make it in the fall. So it was like time was suddenly, you know, critical, just everything, every bit of it. So, you know, I contacted Ricky Masbar. She's a con she was the casting director for A Thousand Tomorrows. And I said, do you think I could do this? And do you think you could help me? And she said, yes. So I was like, okay, Lord, you're leading the way. This is good. Ricky is a believer as well. And so she helped us, you know, kind of get some ideas around. I already knew who I wanted my lead Dawson Gage to be because that was Jake Allen, and he's in The Baxters, which no one's seen yet, but when you see it, he's very talented, and I knew he could play that role. So anyway, there were a million pieces that had to come together. And I remember once that we hired Natalie Ruffino Wilson was the one we hired early on to be kind of the on the ground producer, like help me get a crew, help me get per understand permits. And then Trish, my sister, became our line producer, which going into this, I didn't even know what a line producer was, but you know, all the SAG stuff, insurance, payroll with 50 people on payroll, just what does that look like? And to be legal about it, like to follow the rules of SAG, because that's how we wanted to operate, was not, you know, making apologies and not paying people, but really doing this in a way that honored God. So all these pieces started coming in. And I remember one day Natalie said to me, because I was saying, well, we only get those people for 5 days and we're paying them a lot of money. What if somebody gets COVID? And what is that? I was like having a minor panic moment. And she said to me, Karen, everything could go wrong. It was a total faith walk. And I remembered that that's exactly what it is. So from that point on, I just like faced the wind and just said, okay, Lord, let's do this. Let's walk. And of course, Georgia, you were a huge part of that as well, a huge part of it. For people who don't know that you were, I went to you and I said, do you think you could carve out these 5 weeks while we're filming to help me with what's considered crafty? But what crafty is just snacks and food for people on set. We had 12-hour days. So we needed more than just your average snacks. Plus, we wanted to reach people with the love of Jesus. And the best way to do that is by providing the right kind of experience at that table. So you should talk about that.
Oh my goodness, Miss Karen, when you texted me and was like, hey, are you free these dates? It was literally like the Lord took my year and carved out those specific dates from the day that we started filming to the day we ended. Like I had nothing on the calendar. And that's when I knew the Lord was like, you're supposed to be there. And I was like, okay, yes, Lord. I didn't know what we were getting into. I don't think any of us really did, but just showing up. And I remember even the day after filming wrapped up, I looked back and I was not the same person that I was 5 weeks before. Those 12-hour days of serving and just loving, I got to see Jesus in a new way of where he said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And I am just so grateful because I'm not who I was before that time. And it's just so sweet because really, like the Lord loved his people when he was here on earth in such a sweet way around the table of just dining with all types of people. And you can do that on a movie set. Like I got to see his face through, you know, a gaffer or through a boom mic friend or a PA or a producer or whoever the directors. It was so sweet. And so, man, oh man, like I'm just so grateful for that opportunity to show up and love in that way, a way that I maybe didn't think that I could do, but there's so much joy in just showing up and surrendering and giving it to the Lord. And so every day I would just show up and serve. And it's just so sweet because it's like the Lord will prepare you, especially with all the movies done in the past. He prepared you to do your own, but the Lord will prepare you. And all the scripture that you've been soaking in, now it's a season of pouring it out and living it out, because you may not have the same Bible time as you did when you have a 12-hour day, or now you're a new mama and your quiet time ain't so quiet anymore, or whatever it may be. But just showing up and letting the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be pleasing to the Lord in His sight. Psalm 19, that's just been so on the forefront of my heart. And so I had the best time. I loved having my little earpiece in, Miss Kay, and hearing like, we need a tea for so-and-so, or we need a coffee for so-and-so, and just knowing how they liked their order. Like, that was such a sweet thing to me, to be intentional, to remember names, to write words of encouragement and affirmation, because you may not get that in a day when you're so in the zone, but if you look down at your cup and it says you are loved and you are seen, like that, I just pray that that would fall on good soil of your heart. And so I think one of my favorite things that I did every morning was, after we got all set up, is it was kind of cold, you know, those fall days.
Yes, they were.
And I would just walk around.
It was like so quick. It was so early.
That's so true. Yeah, you're right. By 7, 8 o'clock, it was warming up. But at 5 or 6, yeah, you're right. That's true. So you never.
That's part of your serving. I mean, you forget like that part. Like, I could sing your praises the rest of this hour because you were there earlier than anybody. Starting coffee in the middle of a busy street, like, would be quiet because it would be, you know, 5 in the morning. But you're like out there trying to find, you know, 200-foot extension cords and work around fire hydrants and doorways and whatnot just to get somebody their hot tea or their hot coffee. You were incredible. And then I want you to talk about the plates and the cups. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you're bringing up memories that I forgot about. Like, even if a generator went out and you're like, oh, Lord, like, I really need to get them some coffee, or we need ketchup. Like, I remember walking over to one of the restaurants and being like, hi, can I get some ketchup? Like, just little things. And it's a moment by moment, like, even surrendering of like, Lord, what do we do next? Because I know that was such a big part of set, is it's like, okay, the weather's changing. Lord, you knew this was coming. We didn't. How do we pivot? And so even with the plates and the cups, like, I didn't plan on doing that. Honestly, Miss Kay, like, I just saw there was some Sharpies around. I saw the plates were white and there was a space to write. And was it on the first day, second day? I don't even remember, but I just started writing. And the overflow of my heart was just to tell these people how loved they were. I really genuinely didn't mean to do it as like, oh, let's write on these plates. It just kind of happened. And I love when the Lord does that. But, I just would start to write like, you are loved, you are seen. This set is better because you are here. You're making a difference, and just really wanting to use every moment as an opportunity to shower these people with love, because I don't know if I'm going to ever see them again after these 5 weeks, but the Lord has crossed our paths for such a time as this. So what am I going to do with it? I could just show up and be there half-hearted, but the Lord says, you will seek me and you will find me when you look for me with all of your heart. And so He can only use what you give Him. And so I just wanted to surrender all of me each and every day. And by the end of the week, we slept really, really good. And it was so fulfilling. And I would just do it again at the drop of a hat. And what's so sweet is how War Room changed my life in such a way to really birth a side of my heart and prayer ministry and even a devotional. I can't wait to see how this film will just not only heal people, but launch them into new parts of their story in freedom that they didn't even know was possible. Oh, it's amazing.
It is amazing. So you were a huge part of it, Georgia. And yeah, we filmed, I think we wrapped November 9th or something. We had that last week at the lake in Lake in Alabama. And it was like camping. It was so fun. It was so fun. I want to do it again. So, you know, the movie is, we're wrapping up editing, and someone like you will be in theaters. It could be this fall. It could be Valentine's Day. It could be that time of the year. So we'll see. We're in some really, really big meetings, and God has given us so much favor, as He did throughout every day of filming. He's doing that as well in the editing process and in the selling process, because now we need to find the right distributor, studio that'll take it to the theaters. And we're praying about that and asking God for wisdom. I love one of the for sure prayers you can pray if you're in a season of, you know, doubt or confusion in any way is a prayer for wisdom. And James 1 talks about that, that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So, you know, that's where it says, like, it's the part that then it's followed by, you know, if you doubt, then it'd be like the wave tossed about on the sea. If that isn't, that's in regards not to every kind of prayer for anything you want, but this is a prayer for wisdom. And that is the prayer that got us through making the movie. And it's the prayer that is getting us through this kind of selling of the movie as to where will it be.
It's so exciting. It is just such a beautiful walk of surrender every day, because we walk by faith and not by sight, and we cannot please God without faith, it says in Hebrews. And so as he searches the earth to and fro looking for faith, I want to be found faithful and full of joy, serving right where God has me. And all y'all listening, like, just show up wholeheartedly wherever the Lord has you today. And I'm just so grateful and I'm so excited. So this movie's coming out. There'll be a new book this fall. Is that correct?
Yes, Just Once is finally going to be coming out. It will be in, I think it's November, and it's the love story of Herbal and Hank. They were long ago characters in my Baxter books, but it's a World War II story, Georgia. So I have never written about World War II, and it was so fascinating doing the research, but also very time consuming because I needed it to be accurate. I had the ship names and the battle locations and dates and those sorts of things had to all be accurate. But Ervil turns out that Ervil was a spy. The operation with the Office of Special Services, OSS. And so she was one of the first spies. There were 4,000 women who were spies. And it's her love story with Hank, but it is interesting to see her in the role of a spy.
I'm so excited. And for our friends that are maybe new to the Baxter series, there's a new book one, The Baxters. It has the cutest cover. It's amazing. Start there. And if you start now, by the time this fall comes around, you'll be ready for Just Once. But it's a standalone, so you really could just start with it, can't you?
You really can. It doesn't mention the Baxters. So it's kind of more one of those things. It's a discovery thing for people who've read about the Baxters. I'll be like, I know Ervil. Everyone else. It'll just be Ervil will be brand new to you, and that'll be perfectly fine.
And she's so sweet. I love her. She's just is so sweet. Yes, and we love Hank.
It's a really sweet thing that she, when she goes into battle, she takes the full armor of God with her, and she uses scripture as a sort of spirit. And it really is a beautiful thing that's how she overcomes the fear she has. She has a great deal of fear initially. After Pearl Harbor, she watches Hank go off and Hank's brother go off. And then she realizes God just calls her to a place of courage. Wow. So it's a really beautiful love story that's wrapped up in, you know, finding your courage and your, you know, kind of armor of God, you know, in him.
We got to put it on daily.
Right.
So Ephesians 6. And I love that about your writing, is it always brings me back to scripture, and it's because that's the way you live your life. And it's just so beautiful. So if y'all haven't read any of her books, watched any of the films, or even just follow you on social media, because you truly just share God's word so authentically. And I'm just so grateful for you, for your family, for your ministry, your heart. And I am better because of it. So thank you for joining us, Miss Kay.
No, thank you so much, Georgia. We'll do it again, and we'll talk about the movie next time even more. We'll see, but then everybody will know about it.
That's right. I'm so excited. And we got to have Mr. Director join us too, Tyler Russell, for this next one about the movie.
Yeah, he's so a cute
one. Yes. Well, thank you.
Thanks so much, Georgia.
Y'all, thank you so much for joining me in this episode with Miss Kay. I love her so much. And seriously, every time I talk to her, I leave better. And truly, I pray that you feel a similar type of way. If you've never read one of Miss Karen's books, you need to do that ASAP. Add that to your Amazon cart right alongside Hi God, It's Me. Pre-order this sweet thing. It'll be out July 18th, and I'm just so excited. But truly, you could start at the beginning. We did talk about this in the episode. You can start with the Baxters as book one. But really, you can start anywhere. That's what I did. My sweet friend Bailey, she actually gave me 4 of Karen's books for my 20th birthday. And it was the Bailey Flanagan series. And it changed my life. I was so grateful. And you know what? It was right during quarantine. And so I had so much happy reading to do a couple years ago. I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. I finished 4 books in 2 weeks. And then I ordered more and ordered more. And then I kept telling my mom, I was like, Mom, you need to read these books. They are so, so good. And my mom was like, I am not really a reader. And then
she became one all because of Miss K's books. So even if you are not potentially a quote-unquote reader, let me tell you, readers are leaders. And these stories, they healed my heart in such a sweet and special way. And they've even healed my mama's heart in such a sweet and special way that I know that her work would meet you right where you're at as well. So that's just a shameless plug for her incredible work, because the Lord is moving in and through that. As well as check out her movies with Hallmark and also her series, A Thousand Tomorrows, that she has done with PureFlix. It is so incredible, and I'm just so grateful. And I am their number one fan. So grateful. But y'all, I love you so much. But before we go, truly, I would just love to pray for you. Lord God, I thank you for this sweet and special time that we had with Miss Karen today. I just pray that each and every friend listening felt encouraged and uplifted and truly held in your righteous right hand, God. And as we pray, Lord, and we really are releasing our prayers, our hopes, our dreams up to you and saying, okay, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. It is such an act of trust and surrender. And I pray that we would do so joyfully. May we joyfully surrender and obey, knowing that you, Lord, have plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us hope in a future, just as you did to the people that you were speaking to in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, Lord. You are so good. I thank you so much for being the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can trust you because you gave us your one and only Son, Jesus. So I thank you that because of the Son, we can come to you, our Father, in prayer. I thank you for his sacrifice and for the victory that he had over sin, death, hell, and the grave. So Lord, may we approach your throne of grace with confidence, boldly coming into you as your child, knowing that you are our Heavenly Father. And so may we release our hopes and dreams up to you, because you are greater than our ways. You are higher than our thoughts. And your plans for us are good. All of your promises are yes and amen. So I thank you. I thank you, Lord. You are so wonderful and we love you. And may we worship you today in thought, word, and deed. I thank you for each and every friend under the sound of my voice. And I pray that you would continue to show them your perfect path for their lives. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Well, friend, I am so grateful for this time that we've had. Seriously, happy reading. Go get you a book. Make sure to pre-order Hi God, It's Me. All of those links will be in the show notes. And I cannot wait for our next conversation together next week. But until then, do not forget, there is a song on your heart. Only you can sing. Your voice is important. Bye.